Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, January 14th, 2019. I have two guests with me today. Andrew Orr, how are you?
Two VIP guests?
I would go with VIP guests. I will absolutely upgrade you to that.
Sweet.
Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Happy Monday.
Is it? You've made it through all right, haven't you?
Yeah, all right. I've done it. It's
Monday's
fine.
Okay.
We're working. Yeah, it's good.
All right. Excellent. I forgot to tell you who I am. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. And we are going to talk, first of all, Andrew, about a piece that you wrote about Wi-Fi.
Yes. So I'm still writing about it. But Okay. Basically, this company, who I won't call out here, but I called out in the article, sent me this pitch about this product that they are selling that, like, they're claiming that it, the claim is that not only is radiation like Wi-Fi harmful, but their product can somehow magically make it not harmful. And
Okay. The
first email I got from them, I just ignored it. The second email that I got this morning, I was like, okay, I need to write an article about this and say that no, Wi-Fi doesn't cause cancer. Wi-Fi and cellular signals, etc.
Okay. Because we've seen a lot of that. You used to, I know in the old flip phone days, you could buy a little sticker that you put on the back of your phone that was supposed to, or in the battery, that was supposed to help protect you somehow.
Yeah, this is basically the same thing.
Okay.
It's a sticker that you can stick on the back of your device. It costs, I think, almost $60.
Oh my gosh.
For a complete placebo. So basically, long editorial short, Wi-Fi and cellular signals just aren't powerful enough to cause cancer.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. That's really it.
Yeah, and
they are...
It seems to be a thing that sort of doesn't go away. Like I said, you used to get this in the old flip phone days, and that was more than 10 years ago. So this is a story that's continued, well, 12 now. I think we're right around the early January was when Steve Jobs announced the iPhone in 2007. So we're coming up on, 12 years since the first smartphone that got mass adoption was announced. So... and this was well before that, because I remember seeing lots of stuff, like I would go look for accessories for a phone that I had at the time, before that. And always one of the things that came up was this sticker that was supposed to save you.
Yeah. So signals like Wi-Fi, they're classified what's called as low frequency non-ionizing radiation.
Okay.
They're not powerful enough to electrically charge molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that they can't do any damage to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the EM spectrum, Wi-Fi usually operates in the 2 gigahertz to 5 gigahertz range. So this is what makes them part of the microwave section.
Okay.
And microwaves have, they're even lower energy than visible light.
Mm-hmm.
So according to their logic, if Wi-Fi is harmful, shouldn't that mean that visible light can also cause cancer and be harmful since it's more energetic?
I would think so.
But
I don't think that's how it works.
Just using the type of idea that they use.
Right.
Now, to be clear, UV radiation, you see, visible light and UV radiation both come from the same source, like stars, but only the UV part of it causes cancer. Not the visible light part.
Right.
So that's a big distinction that I also make in the editorial.
Okay. So that's the difference, then, is that what's happening is that it's actually two different things happening at the same time. Because there's the UV piece of it, which is why you get a suntan or sunburn. And there's the piece that you can see. And those are different things that are just happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, basically, the only parts of the spectrum that are cancer-causing are UV rays, a.k.a. ultraviolet rays, X-rays, and gamma rays.
Okay.
And not many people will come into contact with those. I mean, I'm sure, I think the sun may emit x-rays and maybe gamma rays, but it's not nearly enough to...
Not at a level that's the way here, in a way that we can measure effectively. Okay.
Like, we do get some of that there, but that's not, you know, Wi-Fi.
Right. So, Charlotte, do you get a lot of this kind of hand-waving over radiation there as well?
So, it's interesting to be discussing this, because a number of years ago, I actually did some consultancy work, just a bit of a communications consultancy work, for a campaign that worked in this area. They were particularly concerned over the issues around mobile phones, around cellular phones and the radiations they caused. So it's interesting to see, firstly, that the debate doesn't seem to have moved on very much. That we still seem to be discussing the same kind of issues. And from what I can tell, we haven't yet seen a major upturn in Wi-Fi or cell phones causing increased cancer. I mean, maybe someone can send me some stats that prove me I'm completely wrong, but I don't remember seeing that yet. Look, there's an argument that we don't know the effects of this radiation. One thing I'm pretty certain of is that a sticker attached to your phone is not going to be the thing that stops you from having any problems if there is an issue.
True.
I'm pretty comfortable in that. But it is interesting how this debate doesn't seem to have been moved on. I mean, I'm always tempted to kind of chuck it into the nonsense category of people who do, you know, who have things like, what was it, chemtrails in the sky and anti-vax stuff and all that kind of thing. I tend to, like, I've never seen much that has convinced me this is a real issue. I might be wrong. And I guess what keeps people interested in this topic is the fear that they could be wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, probably.
I think that probably has a good measure of what's actually going on with this. That's probably true. I would go with that.
But I'm always loath to dismiss things within, you know, that at some point, you know, we used to believe all sorts of things weren't bad for you that we now know are. And to be honest, vice versa. So I kind of try and keep an open mind, but it just, for all the reasons Andrew explained, it just seems not quite logical. It just doesn't seem logical that this can be the kind of issue that a company like he encountered is trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, I think, I'm not saying that there's nothing to this, but I think I'm with you, Charlotte, in that the solution to this is not a sticker.
Right.
And it's not a $60 dot of sticker or whatever it is, you know. Just like I think if you have some issue, you know, that little copper bracelet that they want to sell you at the mall is probably not the answer to that either. So I think if there is something to it, there has to be a better solution for it than the one that we're being offered, I think, is where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, basically, my stance is if you make a claim, you have to provide evidence for that claim.
Yes.
And so far, there is no evidence showing a link between this type of radiation and cancer. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, there have been studies that suggest maybe there's some kind of a hypothetical link, mm-hmm. but that's a far, far cry from a falsifiable study showing that there is a hard link between it.
Right. And then also, like, knowing that the solution to it is just going to be something like the sticker that you put on the back of your phone, you know, I really doubt that's a thing that's going to be, you know, I feel like if a link is in fact proven, this sticker isn't going to be the thing that saves you. That's where we're headed.
This is similar to, like, certain people selling these crystals that claim to block all sorts of things, mm-hmm. all the toxins or whatever.
Yeah. And if you want to do that, that's fine, but that's not what you need to be relying on as far as, you know, doing things in order to live a healthy life. Like, just to put that disclaimer out there. So
I would say so.
Yeah. I think we can go with that. I want to go ahead and talk for a minute about our sponsors who do have evidence to back up their claims of things. And the first of those sponsors is Eve Energy. Now, everything with Eve Energy says you are in control. You can switch your appliances on and off with a tap or with a voice command to your S-Lady assistant in your phone. You can automate everyday tasks with things like timers. And once and including those timers, you can also know exactly how much power you are using. You can take advantage of HomeKit, like I said, with the voice assistant. You can set up shortcuts. Eve not only offers you ease of use, it offers you advanced security because it is HomeKit certified. And one of the things that Apple requires for that is a certain level of security. And it gives you tight integration, like I said, with that assistant in your phone. Eve Energy connects directly to your phone or your iPad using Bluetooth low energy. And one of the great things about that is that it doesn't require a bridge. So you don't have to find another place to plug in another little box that you have to hang off your network. So you can use voice commands, and you can even do that if you aren't home. Like I said, you can set timers for things like coffee makers, so that when you come downstairs in the morning, your coffee is ready and waiting for you, which is a very small thing, but a very big thing, particularly if you're a coffee drinker. You can also have things set to respond to occupancy, so you can have the lights come on and then leave as people come and go, which is also really nice. So Eve Energy gives you loads of insight into your home, and it gives you the power to embrace all of that knowledge and take action accordingly. You can find out more at evehome.com. That's EveHome.com. And our second sponsor today is Capterra. Now, Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. So whatever it is that you've been using that causes you to sigh deeply and roll your eyes at work, you may be able to find an alternative to that. And January is a really great time to do so. With over 700,000 reviews of products from actual software users, you can discover everything you need in 700 specific categories to make an informed decision. You've got everything from project management to email marketing to something really specific like yoga studio management software. So no matter what kind of business your software needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Visit capterra.com, capterra.com/TDO for free today. And you can find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Now, the other topic I wanted to talk to you two about today is, Charlotte, you wrote a piece about Amazon and Apple and their relationship, occasionally contentious, occasionally not. We are in a period of not very contentious right now. Let's chat about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting that let's start kind of slightly at halfway through, perhaps, because we spent a lot of last week, CES week, discussing a whole bunch of HomeKitty Apple TV type yes. stuff, didn't we? And Apple playing nice with a whole bunch of companies and really pushing its services thing. And this kind of links to that, because since 2007, Amazon and Apple have been playing a lot more nicely together. They've been doing all sorts of different partnerships. Their content is becoming available on both their platforms. Mm-hmm. That is the quickest way to describe it.
It matters a little less what you're buying and what you have to, what content you're buying and what hardware you have to use that content on. Right. Sure, there's the separate Kindle store, but if I want to buy a TV show on Amazon, I can watch it on my Apple TV. And if I buy or rent something from Amazon, I can watch that on, or from Apple, I can watch that easily on my Kindle or whatever.
Exactly. It's starting to move that way, where they're kind of decided that having their content available on more devices might just be better for them, mm-hmm. Which is great. We'll talk about that. It's interesting you mentioned Kindle and eBooks, because we can discuss that in a sec. But generally, that's how the vibe is. And that's really interesting. There was a report out last week by a UK analysis firm called Enders Analysis, who look at the media and tech industries here in the UK, who took a bit of a deep dive into this relationship. And I spoke to one of the authors of the report. His basic conclusion was that while this is all very nice now, and it is a real thing, and it is a proper truce in the relationship, it doesn't mean it won't last forever. And we could see very quickly the relationship again deteriorate into quite a contentious and fractious one. But for the moment, they seem to be playing nice.
Mm-hmm. And people might remember that we've seen a bit of back and forth before with this, where because you could not get Amazon content on an Apple TV, Amazon wouldn't sell the Apple TV in their stores.
Right.
And online. You were not able to buy one from Amazon because you couldn't get Amazon stuff on it. And then we got an announcement that the Prime Video app was coming to Apple TV. And then it took a couple of years, I think it was. It was quite a long time. And then eventually we did get the app for the Apple TV. And it's out and it works pretty well. I've put a fair number of miles on it. I like it. I like it as well as I like any of the video apps that I have to use on my Apple TV. But it's not terrible, and it gives me access to a lot of content that I get as a Prime subscriber. And there's, you know, there was always the Kindle relationship where I can read Kindle stuff on all my Apple hardware, even my Mac if I really want to. But I can read Kindle books on my iPhone and my iPad, which is great because one of the options my library has is digital books. Ebook checkout, and so I can check out the Kindle version and just use the Kindle app and have that progress synced everywhere where I wouldn't normally be reading a book. So that's pretty great. And we've seen, and you know, now that the Prime Video app is out and you can get it for the Apple TV, you can buy an Apple TV on Amazon now, and now you can also get Apple Music on your Echo based devices. So you can play Apple Music if the speakers that you have in your house that you talk to are not HomePods. You can still get your Apple Music subscription available on all of them. So it does seem like things are working a lot better between these two companies.
For sure. What, it's interesting you mentioned Kindle a couple of times, because one of the areas the analyst I spoke to really highlighted as not an area where they're playing nicely is ebooks. Competition is still very, very fierce in that area.
Yes, and that's true. I just ended up as a Kindle app user ages ago, and that was one of the first, if I'm not mistaken, and I think this is still, I think this was like the first example, but you can't actually buy a Kindle book within the app for the Kindle. You have to go to the website on your phone or on your iPad in order to actually make a purchase.
Is that right? I have a Kindle Paperwhite, which I actually love.
I do too. I love my Kindle Paperwhite. But what, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first thing where Apple said, if you want to buy things from that from a company directly, you can't do it within the app. And I think that was the, I think that's what it was the first thing that people noticed was that you can't buy Kindle books in the app anymore. You have to go out to, you have to use Safari and go load up Amazon.com and then sign in, and then you can make a purchase that way. Yeah.
Look, I think we all can basically agree that tech companies that we all use playing nice is a good thing. We want them to be able to, we want stuff to be cross-platform. I understand why we all like lots of bits about Apple's walled garden. Clearly that we saw last week at CES that wall is a lot lower than it used to be, didn't we? That's clearly become clear. That's clearly what's happening, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's fine. But I think it's for the benefit of users to have this level of cross compatibility.
It is.
It has to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, are you on Team Kindle?
Nope.
Okay. stay tuned.
Are you on Team Paperback Book?
Paperback books? What?
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, my God, you heathen.
So you don't have it. Do you use the Kindle app on your devices or anything like that?
No, I just stick with Apple Books.
Apple Books. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I do have some things that I get in Apple Books, but like literally checking out a book from my library, I can push the Kindle button and then I wait a minute and then it takes me to a Kindle page and I get it checked out. And the nice thing about that is it saves me the return trip to the library, because if I forget, it doesn't matter because the book just expires on my device and it tells me, yeah, you're done reading now. So I don't even have to worry about making sure I get it back to the library in time, which is nice. So that's a thing that I have found super useful. And I actually end up putting a lot more miles on the Kindle app as a result of that. I do like my Paperwhite, but I think probably the bulk of my reading happens in the app on an iOS device. Andrew, do you do a fair amount of reading in iBooks?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big reader, actually.
Okay.
As you know, I just bought a really cool cooking book, so stay tuned for that.
Yes. Now, did you get a digital copy of that?
I did.
Okay. So, yeah, because I know that you do read a lot, so I wanted to. So I wasn't sure how many miles you were putting on iBooks. We will probably have more to say on this topic soon. Something will change in Apple's relationship, or we will just find some other interesting way that they have teamed up. You know, for good or ill, we're going to see that this relationship's going to continue to evolve.
Well, and I think what's interesting is in some areas, like you say, the relationship, they could team up and do something else together. And in another field, they could really become more fractious and move apart. I think it's a really kind of moving feast at the moment.
Yeah. And what's sort of, I think part of that is the different facets to that relationship has a lot to do with the size and scale of each of the companies. You know, there may be two departments that just don't get on well at all. And that's very different from, you know, two other departments that work very closely on things like, you know, the people who are developing the tvOS app for Amazon probably work pretty closely with people at Apple, you know, however well that goes, but they are working pretty closely together. And, you know, it's interesting to see how that has changed over time. And I'm interested to see how it changes in the future. And I'm sure that when that happens, we will talk more about it here on TMO. I would like to thank both of you for joining me today. Charlotte, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.
And Andrew, thanks for coming by and talking to us about Wi-Fi.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. This has been the Daily Observations Podcast for Monday, January 14th, 2019. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.